Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org.
On today's edition of Virginia Conversations, sharing services and talent, not through bartering, but something else called time banking. I'm May Lily Lee. Thanks for joining us. It's a concept that's been around for decades, and now time banking is slowly catching on in Virginia. The idea is to deposit an hour of your special talent or services into a local time bank for other members to use. In exchange, you can withdraw an hour of another time bank member's unique service. For example, give an hour of dog walking and use an hour of household cleaning. Joining us to explain more about how it works and how you can get involved are two people at the heart of Virginia's largest time banks. In Charlottesville, Kathy Kilday, co-chair of the Seaville Time Bank. Welcome, Kathy.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And on the phone is Christina Kane, executive director of the Stanton Creative Community Fund. That organization runs a time bank it calls Our Economy, a play on the word hour, referring both to 60 minutes in time as well as the possessive meaning. Hi, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
We want to start our conversation with a special guest joining us via his office in D.C. Welcome Edgar Kahn, distinguished professor of law at the University of the District of Columbia and the creator of Time Dollars, which became known as time banking. Welcome, Dr. Kahn.
Good to be with you.
Let's start off by having you explain what was happening socially and economically in the 80s that you would think of the concept of time dollars.
Well, we had a recession. Detroit was laying off workers. We were beginning to wrestle with the issue of how to deal with elder care. And I had a major heart attack that blew away 60% of my heart, according to the enzyme tests. And doctors then told me that at best I would have 2 hours a day when I could function. And I thought, if all I've got is 2 hours, I don't want to be useless. And then I thought, we're labeling a lot of other people useless, too, folks who have disabilities, teenagers who can't get jobs, seniors, unemployed persons. And I thought, how do we put useless people like me together with social needs to really rebuild community? And my son said, well, Dad, we used to use money to do that. And I thought, well, we don't have enough of that kind of money. And there were all cutbacks in government programs at the time that were going into place. And I thought, well, why can't we create a new kind of money? And so people thought maybe that heart attack got to your brain, too, but we'll let you wander loose on the street asking that. And then went to the London School of Economics and said, why can't we create a new kind of money? And that's now spread. I am thrilled that it's coming to Virginia and that you've got some vibrant time banks going. And I'd love to see a statewide network of community-based time banks emerge so that if you live in one community but your parents live in another, that we could all network together, because that's what's beginning to happen in different places.
I read in an interview that time banking had its roots in a time, you said, when money for social programs had dried up and no dominant approach to social service in the U.S. was coming up with creative ways to solve the problem. I think a lot of people think of capital as money, when human capital can be equally important, if not more important.
It is so remarkable what people can do. Teaching somebody how to use a smartphone nowadays, giving rides to people with dialysis, all kinds of things are popping up. People are giving classes in the language, yoga classes. What it does, and I imagine that the stories that will come from the two time banks that are already going are just vibrant activities, But then we're rediscovering birthday parties. Everybody was born some month, so we can have a monthly event that celebrates just their lives and how they contribute and who they are. Because we tend to ignore all of the vibrant activity that's going on in community. Yesterday, I met with the commissioner for aging in Virginia, and the annual report says that the value of informal care that's sort of below the radar screen in Virginia is $10 billion.
That's now, you're talking about care given to seniors in Virginia. That's estimated to be $10 billion of unpaid care. Is that right?
Yeah. And think, but some of those folks are under stress, and they could use a little bit of help and a little bit of just a morning off to deal with their own problems as well as be caregivers. And the need is going to grow, and we're going to have to learn. Most of us don't even know what our next-door neighbor knows how to do. We meet them on the street, and we say something really personal, like, do you think it will rain tomorrow, or who's going to win the game? But we really don't even know our neighbors anymore.
And I also want to quote you, because I thought this was really powerful. After your meeting with Jim Rothrock, Commissioner for Aging and Rehabilitative Services, you said, that's what time banking undertakes. When you heard about the $10 billion of unpaid care given to seniors, that's what time bank undertakes to reward and expand by providing relief, respite, and support for those caregivers and by unleashing the vast untapped capacity of community to address just about any problem, meet any need, and build the kind of Virginia that lives up to its traditions. I think that's wonderful.
Well, it's... For me, it would be very special to be able to come and join you in Virginia and really share what we know how to do, because it takes on so many different forms. There are people who know all kinds of arts and crafts. There are people who know how to do drywall. There are folks who can deal with sort of coaching younger children. We have fifth graders earning time dollars, tutoring second and third graders so that they learn the alphabet and enter fourth grade able to read. So the kinds of things that can happen and the untapped capacity could make the $10 billion look like just a small fragment of what you really have in Virginia.
And Kathy, I know you have a comment.
Oh, we welcome the opportunity to partner with any time bank across the Commonwealth to share resources and knowledge, and also really look forward to meeting and kind of exploring this relationship with Dr. Khan even a little deeper in the coming week. So we really look forward to sitting down with him face-to-face and working out some of these things to strengthen our efforts locally.
Christina?
Well, absolutely. And as far as that connection goes, when we had our initial launch back in November, of 2012, Kathy came down and celebrated with us. So yeah,
it was great fun.
Wasn't that? That was such a good time.
It really was.
And we really kind of continued that theme throughout. But I had the opportunity to talk to Dr. Khan a couple of days ago, and I have to tell you, I was so inspired and invigorated about what you're doing in D.C. and really how time banks can really dig in and make a visceral and real difference in our community. And just hearing about unleashing that untapped energy that you were talking about a moment ago, May Lily, is a beautiful statement. I wholeheartedly agree.
It is a beautiful statement.
Dr. Khan, we really appreciate your joining us on the program today. It's such an honor to be able to talk with a man who conceived of time dollars and now known as time banking. Thank you so much for joining us from your office in D.C.
Well, I've discovered in working on this one thing that people don't realize about money. Money defines value by price. So if it's scarce, it's valuable. If it's abundant, it's cheap. If it's really abundant, our monetary system treats it as either cheap or worthless. And I suddenly realized that meant being a human being, every capacity that we have as human beings, we've devalued. So our ability to listen to each other, to care for each other, to come to each other's rescue, to stand up for what's right, all the fundamental things that we as people, as citizens, as human beings, that enabled us really to survive as a species, we have forgotten about. We take it for granted. I think we take it for granted the same way we took the ozone layer for granted before we messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to start rediscovering what a remarkable thing a human being is.
Wonderful. On that note, we bid you adieu. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Well, it's been a privilege to be with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Now, Kathy, if we could step back just a moment before we take a call from Stephen Winchester, where he is a time bank coordinator as well. There are lots of people who might be tuning in right now and thinking, I don't know anything about this. What are they talking about? Bartering? What's that? So it's important for us to establish what time banking is.
Right. Well, it differs from a barter situation where if you were arranging a barter, you would need to decide between two people what was an equitable trade. In time banking, you're not trading directly with a person. You're trading with the time bank. So if I come to your home and I do 2 hours worth of work, I bank those 2 hours, and then I can pull those 2 hours out, spending them on services with any member throughout the time bank. So the time bank is a structure to track all of those hours and to monitor those exchanges.
Okay, great. And let's take this call from Stephen. How are you this morning? Hi, Stephen.
Yes.
Welcome to our program. You know, we're talking with folks who have set up or are coordinating time banks from different areas of Virginia, and it's a delight to have you join us from Winchester, where you are coordinating a time bank. Share with us.
Well, thank you so much. We have just begun the Win-Win Time Bank in Winchester. We started in December, and we're slowly adding members and doing time bank membership rollouts. Where we are encouraging people to get together and learn more about time banking.
Congratulations.
That's really
Thank
great.
Thank you so much. It's been very exciting. We've been having a huge response. A lot of people are very interested, but I think the process needs to develop whereby people feel comfortable with what exactly it is and how they get started.
All right, we have Stephen in Winchester. We have Christina in Stanton. And we have Kathy in Charlottesville. Could somebody please explain why it's not taking off in Richmond?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question.
Okay, I think we've stumped the panel.
That was quick.
And funny enough, I'm from Richmond, so I've actually talked to a couple of folks in Richmond, and actually there is some interesting alternative economy folks in Richmond. There is a fantastic individual. His name is Drew Little, and he has launched an organization called Producia, and you can actually find him on Facebook. It is not necessarily a time bank per se, but he is doing some pretty cool things with a couple of alternative economy strategies. So it's not a time bank per se, but there is a couple of things percolating in Richmond. So I would stay tuned.
Okay, we will. And Stephen, before we let you go, share with us your personal experience. Did you have a trade that you wanted to sort of offer up? Were you facing some economic difficulties? What led you to lead this time bank in Winchester?
Well, actually, I am part of an organization called Growing Wild LLC, which is a permaculture education and demonstration site. And part of our mission is to engage community and to seek out social yields, if you will. And when the idea was presented to me by Adi Wall, she came back from Florida with the idea of time banking. As I investigated it more and more, I found that it agreed a lot with the principles of growing wild and a lot of the ideas of permaculture. And when I investigated further with Megan Williamson down at Our Economy, which is another time bank organization, they were also involved with permaculture. So it just seemed to fit what we were about, what we wanted to do, how we would pursue it. And my own personal, one of my first exchanges was a plumbing problem that we hadn't been able to resolve because it was particularly tricky. And we listed it as a request, and we had someone from the time bank show up and took care of everything, and that sold me overnight. So,
and what did you deposit for your talent or services?
Well, I'm as the organizer, I've also developed or added many, many hours, a lot more hours than I do, but maybe, you know, 100 hours of actually building the time banking, setting up the websites and the pages and all the information and making it, you know, tailoring it specifically to suit the win-win time bank. And I do volunteer with the organization as much as I can.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for sharing
your insight. Good luck.
We appreciate it. And now we go to Roanoke for Leela. Hi, Leela. How are you? Hi, Leela. You're on the air.
Hi. I guess there's a delay. I missed that.
We always recommend that you listen to the phone rather than the program on the radio because there's a delay. Yes.
Right. Yes, so we started Roanoke Valley Time Exchange in Roanoke, and it's about a week old now.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You can find us at rvte.org.
rvte.org. And you will be hearing different websites and phone numbers throughout the show. We will post all of that on our virginiapublicradio.org site for Virginia Conversations. But continue.
Yes, so we are using the Our World form of the Time Exchange, and we've just introduced the Roanoke Valley Time Exchange at the Pecha Kucha night, and we've actually started as a movement called We the People of the Earth, building an umbrella organization to help coordinate community groups and causes. So the Time Exchange is our first project, and we thought it would be a great place to start in terms of connecting neighbors to each other and moving the social networking out from behind the computer and into our local homes and businesses and public spaces.
Fantastic. Leela, thank you so much for calling in. And quick question for you as well. What is your service or talent?
Mine? Well, I've got a couple of offers up on our exchange, and I'd like to find an exercise partner. I can help with some nutrition counseling, and I can also do accounting assistance for people. So.
That is super. Leela, thanks for taking part in our conversation today.
Thank you so much. Good luck. I appreciate it.
Please stay in touch with us as we like to think of all of our time banks growing together. We're happy to share experiences.
Great. Wonderful. I will.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Christina, I'm going to turn to you because everyone has instilled a sense that this is about community more than it is about dollars and financial issues.
Absolutely. One of the amazing things through the experience of starting and you know, watching the Our economy evolve, because we actually launched in November of 2012, so we've been around for about a year and a half, and I really feel like, and I bet you anything, it's very similar in Roanoke and in Winchester, that I really feel like people have needed a reason to viscerally connect in a way they haven't been given a reason before, because I guess in Americans' DNA, it's really not there to ask for help the way that it used to be, I guess.
Great point.
You know, somebody had said, you know, getting out from behind the computer and actually meeting people face-to-face.
Absolutely, and we're going to take that thought and carry it over to the next segment. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back with more on time banking in a moment. Today we're discussing time banking, a system where volunteer hours are traded among its members. Our guests today are from two thriving time banks in Virginia, Kathy Kilday, co-chair of the Seaville Time Bank, and Christina Kane, executive director of the Stanton Creative Community Fund, which operates the time bank in that area. Christina and Kathy were talking about the social aspect of this, and I have to say that during the break, Christina, Kathy, really loved the point you were making around the fact that we're not the kind of folks who want to ask for help.
No, not at all. And that's really, and even just listening to the folks that have been calling it, and I strongly suggest anybody who's taken a part of the Seaville Time Bank or the Our Economy or the two newer time banks to give a call and tell your stories about joining and why you joined the time bank. But it is about that visceral connectivity with people. And like I was saying a second ago, just listening to, all right, so what do you have to give? almost maybe every time that you asked, we paused and we thought about, hey, what are we good at? Because we're not used to being asked that. What are we good at and what can we give? And how can we ask for help whenever we need it? So I really feel like time banking is kind of our excuse or the mechanism that we need to say, hey, neighbor, how Dr. Khan was saying, we don't talk to our neighbors in a real way anymore. And so I think time banking is a way to kind of take those relationships back and make them much more personal and make them real.
Christina, I've heard people mention many times, and I certainly feel this way myself, it doesn't really feel like you're asking for help if people are offering to do it for you.
Right, right.
There's something that just removes that barrier right there within our time banking community. If you have a need, and it doesn't really matter whether that's a tiny little thing or a big job.
A big thing. You're absolutely right.
You need help with it, post it up there, and members are willing to jump in and help with it.
And there's also, the sense of community and that we're all in this together is so strong that not only is it inspiring, but it's empowering as well. And being able to go to our time bank database and actually see what the needs in our community are and how empowering that is to me as an individual to say, hey, I can do that. I can do that. Oh, hey, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to make a friend while doing it.
Exactly.
And we haven't really mentioned that yet. The friendships that we have built, we have monthly potlucks. And there's a group of us that have been coming every month for a year and a half. And I have to say, we have built some amazing connections and friendships.
Well, it's funny. When you do an exchange with someone, it's not like you go home and it's over. You now have a relationship with that person.
Right.
It's kind of like having an extended family. And the more this network grows, the more those connections are made. And maybe there are members that I haven't met or interacted with, but somebody I have interacted with now knows them and says, oh, you know, so-and-so does needlepoint or can coach you on that or has a truck you can borrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are just organically woven into the system that is just, it's wonderful to watch it happen.
Speaking of which, will you give us a list of some of the Charlotte, the Seaville Time Bank, the Charlottesville Time Bank offerings?
Sure. Well, I'll kind of hit through the list here, and I'm looking at the member software, the Time Weaver software that is that we enroll in with Time Banks USA, and it's a little they're listed a little like Craigslist, but only members have access to it, so you need to sign up for an account and be authorized before you can access it all. So just kind of running through a running list of the things that are needed and being offered. Garage sale help advice. Somebody wants to do a garage sale but needs some help with it. Peace of mind newborn babysitting. Knife sharpening. iPad lessons. I've done two of these so far, and I can tell you they were very valuable. Curtain hemming, cleaning. There are a lot of cleaning and gardening posts at the moment because it's, you know, believe
it's
it or not,
time.
It's springtime. some carpentry work. Somebody looking for inspiration in a new hobby. This is the kind of thing that just kind of gets your creativity going. Somebody needs a hair trim. Somebody's offering to make carrot cake for you. I could
That's
go
a great
on.
List.
There's about 30 pages of requests and offers on here now that are just they run the gamut of the depth of experiences of our members.
And while that is a closed list only for members, people can find out more in general about Charlottesville's Time Bank through SeavilleTimeBank.com. And now let's go to Ilsa from Charlottesville. You're a member, aren't you?
Did you say Ilsa?
Yes, I did. But, you know, I have a little thing on my screen that says Ilsa equals Ilsa.
Yeah. Well, I go by Ilsa generally, but yes, I am a member of the Charlottesville Time Bank.
Good morning. I'm so happy to hear you call in.
Good morning. So I was thinking, I was inspired by somebody saying we should share our stories of why we joined the Time Bank, because I bet my story is a bit different than a lot of people's. I moved to Charlottesville around the Time Bank was starting, and I heard about it just shortly thereafter. I've been a member now for a year. It took me a few months after moving to get on board, but I moved from an intentional community called Twin Oaks out in Louisa, Virginia. So I lived intentionally with 100 adults and about a dozen kids, including my two children, and had raised my kids there their whole lives. And so I was in a bit of culture shock moving to this what we call the outside world there. Sometimes we call it Babylon. And feeling so disconnected from my neighbors, like you said, somebody said that. And when I first moved in, I remember introducing myself to my next door and across the street neighbors and saying, hey, if you ever need help taking care of your kids. And they looked at me like I was crazy, you know. So the time bank was a place that I felt like I could connect with people who either could use my services or whose services I could use. And the hour-for-hour economy was actually something that we did at Twin Oaks, so it was extremely familiar to me and my children, and so it was really easy for me to just plug in and start doing that.
That's great. I'm really looking forward to having your help at my garden party.
Oh, good.
Very soon. Elsa's on our Grubby Gardeners group, who are kind of taking the yard mob approach to some of our gardens across the community.
Elsa, thank you so much for joining in the conversation today.
No problem.
And now we talk to a member of the Stanton Time Bank. Let's go to Roz from Harrisonburg. Hi, Roz. Roz, you're on the air. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
So I just wanted to, I have a bit of a similar story, actually, to the woman who just called in from Charlottesville, but I moved here to Harrisonburg, Virginia, about a year ago, and I learned about the Stanton Hour Economy, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away from my town, from a friend, and I started participating, and it was actually a really amazing way to meet new people in the area. You know, like you've said, when you have a financial transaction with somebody, it's often not personal. But if you do an hour of service for someone, you form a relationship that's kind of, you know, it's hard to ignore. Like, it's you really can have meaningful conversations with somebody. And the great thing about doing an hour of service for somebody with this is that often you can learn a lot from it. So I was volunteering for a farmer, and I learned a lot about gardening from my time with him. So that was really exciting. And now I'm really excited to say that the Stanton Creative Community Fund has helped us bring the Hour Economy to Harrisonburg.
So, yay!
Nice.
Yeah, so we have about 95 people who are involved in the forum on Facebook. And we're having our first potluck today, actually, tonight, at New Community Project. And you can find that online on Facebook if you're interested. Just look up the Hour Economy Harrisonburg potluck. And so I'm really excited to start getting involved with more people in my own community.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. And we want to also, as we bid you adieu, give the Stanton Time Bank information out. Christina, how can the general public find out more about the Stanton Time Bank as well?
We have a couple of amazing resources. We have our website, which is oureconomy.org, and it is OurEconomy.org, and that website was put together from a web designer that earned hours putting it together. And we also have a very active Facebook page that is, you can just search under the Our Economy, and again, Our Economy. So both the Facebook page and the Our Economy website are two fantastic places to go to not only find out more about the Our Economy, to sign up with the Our Economy. Even on our website, we actually have a tutorial about navigating the Time Bank software. So you can go on, and one of our Time Bank members, Ann Bazzelli, put that together for us. So if you need help walking through, signing on to that database, you can bank your hours. We have some instructions right on our website. But again, at OurEconomy.org and OurEconomy at Facebook.
That's great. Now let's go to Charlottesville for a call from Arthur. Good morning, Arthur. Hi there, Arthur. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. It's so good to hear all the rationales and what's going on. I got interested in Time Bank maybe 12, 15 years ago when I was working on creating some communities focusing on elders, and not only what we could do for them, but what they could do back. And living in Charlottesville, I joined the Time Bank, and part of my philosophy is that why should somebody be worth 100 or 1,000 times more per hour than me? Giving an hour and getting an hour, you know, just feels really, really good. And I found what I've been getting and what I can give really interesting. I've done gardening for people and window washing. I've created wills for some people. I've given golf lessons and help with watching their dogs. In return, I've got haircuts. I get dog sittings and iPad lessons. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome, Arthur.
And basically, you know, just the social aspect to me has been almost the most important aspect. I've met people through these exchanges who I see regularly and also get the opportunity to work with them and what other things they're interested in, so that the community is not just a circle around time banks, but I think it gets you involved with similar thinking people that are involved with other stuff in the community. So it's just a great thing. The best thing, of course, is people. And, you know, when you do something, how good you feel. And then when you get something, how good you feel.
And absolutely.
The green dollar bills, they stay in my pocket.
So, yes. Arthur, that really is so appreciated. Thank you for that insight. And you're in Charlottesville as well, so you're talking to your coordinator, Kathy.
Arthur is the co-chair of the
wonderful.
We'd love to see many, many more join in. So
thank you, Arthur. Thanks for the call. Now, before you start thinking that this all only happens west of Richmond, we have a call from Chesapeake from Rachel, and she's actually bringing up an interesting question relating to safety and security. You're bringing people you don't necessarily know into your home, and Rachel, you're on the air. Let's talk about your concern.
Good morning. So, yeah, I think this is a really great idea, and I would be interesting. I'm in the Tidewater area of Virginia, and I think it's something that would be great in this area, but I am concerned about how you all do your screening. I wanted to kind of get some more information about that. How do you screen people to, number one, ensure that they actually are qualified to do the job that they're saying that they're skilled in? And then also maybe like as far as a criminal background check or something of that nature to make sure that these aren't criminals or psychos that you're inviting into your home. So I would love to hear a response to that.
I'll take that, because it's something that we've thought about as well.
Okay.
To be completely honest, it's also a trust-based economy, and your concerns are certainly a valid one. I mean, anybody can join the hour economy. Our steering committee, who is a part of our governance structure, is open to anybody. We're very transparent about what we do and how we do it. However, to meet those concerns, we actually set up, not only do we have an Hour Economy Facebook page that's open to everybody, but we also have an Hour Economy members forum that is a closed Facebook page where we can actually talk about those things. So it's kind of like an Angie's List, sort of, but for Hour Economy members. So, you know, if there's a new person that comes along, you know, and they say that they can come and clean up my gutters, and I'm not sure who they are, what I might do is put on the Hour Economy member forum and say, hey, does anybody know this person? Because I don't know them. Or what I might do is invite them to one of the monthly potlucks that's in an open public space. We have our potlucks at 16 West Beverly Street, which is the Virtually Sisters co-working space. So what we'll do is, if we're not really sure about the person, we'll invite them to our public potlucks. To get to know them a little bit. But your concern is a good one. I mean, our economy has made the decision to be, you know, open and transparent. Anybody can join, but we do have a way to get feedback and give feedback to each other through our Hour Economy members forum.
So why don't you jump in, Kathy?
Go ahead.
We're just having some
issues. But as far as qualifications,
we're going to need to fade out of there. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. Well, when we have members that sign in and sign up, join the Time Bank in orientation, we're very clear to explain to them that the Time Bank as an organization has not vetted people for their skills and abilities. And we caution people to say, if you're inviting somebody into your home to do electrical work, it is upon you to make sure that they're licensed and insured or certified or whatever qualifications they need to be. they need to have. We also encourage people to ask for references. If you're at all concerned about what they're doing for you, a member should be expected to provide references, and they should expect to ask for them for people that are doing those kinds of work. That being said, we also have an ombudsman committee that we have, knock on wood, never had to utilize. But in case there is any problem that comes up from a transaction, we want members to know that they're not alone in this. We want our other members to help mediate a solution, a resolution, so that everybody walks away from the experience satisfied.
Now, Rachel was interested in time banks, but we're not aware of a time bank in the Hampton Roads area. If you are, call us and let us know about anything that might be going on in your neck of the woods. In the meantime, let's go to this call from Kelly. Good morning, Kelly from Charlottesville.
Hello.
Hi there. If your question is brief, we can go to you before our break.
Well, I was actually just calling in to share some stories.
Great.
I'm from the Charlottesville Time Bank, and
I am the
provider of the iPad lessons that Kathy was talking about. And, you know, when I first heard about the Time Bank, I was very interested in this kind of revolutionary idea that one person's labor is worth the same as another person's labor, whatever skill you're providing. And so I jumped on board early on during the pilot program, and just get more excited about it as we grow it. And your point earlier about the American culture not being one of asking for help, I mean, we very much are individualists. But I guess as a newly single person, I have come to really, really appreciate the value of the time bank because I'm a real estate agent. I run a paperless office, so an iPad is a very easy thing for me, and I love giving iPad lessons. And at the same time,
funny.
I have this garden that I cannot keep up with anymore.
So you're a gardener.
The gardeners come to my house. They're fabulous. I recommend.
And you're technical, too. We're going to need to take a break as we go to this reminder that Virginia Conversations can be heard on virginiapublicradio.org, and past editions can be seen or heard on virginiapublicradio.org. We'll be back with more conversation in just a moment.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, supporting public discourse through sponsorship of Virginia Public Radio. Resources for parents and teachers online at veanea.org. More information about Virginia Conversations and other Virginia Public Radio programming can be found online at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about sharing time and talent through time banking. Our guests are Christina Kane from the Time Bank in Stanton and Kathy Kilday with the Seaville Time Bank. Kathy, if we could reiterate the core values of time banking.
Right. And there are time banks, you know, across the country that are kind of individually molded to their own community, but they all kind of hold core values at heart, and they kind of guide their general operations. But the one core value is that we were... Everyone has value, everyone has something to contribute. We also try to redefine work in that a lot of work goes undervalued and underpaid in the market economy, and time banking gives equal value to all of those things. Then there's reciprocity, that helping works better as a two-way street, and a one-way flow of resources really isn't sustainable. The value of social networks, that people are stronger when they're connected to a network. Doing something of service to people in your community binds you to them. And then the value of respect, and that time banking values diverse backgrounds and experiences and seeks to honor wherever people are at. And sometimes we can blur the lines that might separate one demographic from another one by this kind of democratization of labor. So those, I just wanted to throw in a little plug for those core values, because we really tried to hold them close to us when we're working in the time bank.
Now we want to get an economic perspective on this and alternative currencies. Joining us from his office in Richmond is Fletcher Mangum. He is the managing partner of Mangum Economics. Good morning to you, Fletcher.
Good morning, Haley. How are you?
just great. You know, when we hear about things like human capital versus dollars, and we hear about people exchanging their services and their talent, one starts thinking about all kinds of alternative currencies beyond time banking. But first of all, let's talk about the value of having something that is alternative in our current economy.
Well, I think, you know, the example that comes to mind most obviously are bitcoins. And you know, the internet has just created an explosion in terms of innovations. So an economist named Schumpeter came up with or developed a theory of called creative destruction, where new ideas overtake old ideas and replace them and are subsequently replaced. And the internet has just put that process on steroids. So it used to be that you would build a better mousetrap, and people would come to your door, but they actually physically had to come to your door. Now billions of them are just sitting outside of it. And these alternative currencies, in terms of their use on the internet, electronic currencies, are an example of exactly that process. But sometimes that rapid success hides limitations that otherwise might be revealed as we went along in the process. And I think that's probably the case here, and that the advantages to electronic currencies like Bitcoin are that they put you outside. They're anonymous, they're private, they're decentralized. So they put you outside of the realm of government, the meddling influence of government, but it also puts you outside of the protection of government. And I think that's part of the dichotomy that we see in that type of currency developing.
Right. We talk about time banks as sort of a paperless and moneyless way to exchange services. And bitcoins, a lot of people are turning to as an alternative currency, but almost as a hedge against the collapse of an economy.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, one of the reasons that this is attractive to libertarians and others is it really puts individuals directly in contact with one another. So it cuts out the middleman. It also is an environment where they're anonymous, but it also puts them outside of the dependency on government. As a result, they're not caught in situations like occurred in Cyprus, where with the collapse of the banking system, people were out of luck. And in this way, you're not tied to that official structure. So it's not quite, you have those liabilities. You have other liabilities, but not those liabilities.
So while people who are involved in perhaps investing in bitcoins as an alternative form of currency, people involved with time banking, that is, exchanging talent and services and time, they may be unknowingly heading toward their own hedge against an economic collapse. Is that right?
Well, again, it's a two-edged sword. I think that's true in that you are outside of the problems of an official system. But because you're in an unofficial system, you also incur your own problems in terms of the things that we have seen with regard to hackers and that type of thing. And that any currency has to have two characteristics. It has to be acceptable as a medium of exchange, but it also has to be secure. And Bitcoin has evolved to a situation where it has become, in many cases, an acceptable medium of exchange. But the security issues are again, it's a two-edged sword. In the way that you're talking about it, no, you don't have the official problems, but you have unofficial problems because you're kind of outside of the protection of the law in many ways.
Okay. Thank you so much for your insight, Fletcher Mangum, economist from Richmond. I appreciate your joining in the conversation today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And now joining us from Virginia Beach, Joe, how are you this morning? Joe, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. What's your question or comment?
I'm calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I guess that's part of the state that doesn't have time banking yet. And I've never heard of it before, and that's somewhat of a surprise to me. I am a teacher, an educator. I taught high school. Now I'm teaching at a community college. And I just am calling to find out, one, where can I find more information about time banking? And two, you know, leading towards the eventuality of, you know, maybe I'm interested in perhaps trying to get something going in this area. I do have the web address for the Centerville Time Bank, and I've just gotten to that, and that may provide me all the answers that I need, but I don't know yet.
Well, I'm happy to give you a little guidance because I just looked this up this morning to refresh my memory. But the national organization, timebanks.org, if you go to their website, you can search for this. This would be my first suggestion, is to search their directory, because they list every time bank in the Commonwealth.
Oh, okay.
You can find in a general search. If they're using other software, you may want to do just a Google search in your area for the community and time banks and see what comes up. You can communicate with any of the coordinators by sending them. There's a little envelope symbol on that site. You can send them a message.
Right.
Any of the coordinators in the state are really anxious to help people in other communities help mm-hmm. get it started in their area. But I would start with a search on the timebanks.org site.
Okay.
And there are a lot of resources within that site to help kind of walk you through. There's just a general link to get one started, and it will walk you through all of the things that you need to do.
Joe, thank you so much for your call this morning.
Yeah, and this is Christina. Can you guys hear me? This is
yes, we're going to let Joe go. But Christina, I do want to turn to you for this.
Okay.
Because
sorry,
I
got dropped a minute ago, so sorry I disappeared there for a minute.
It happens to the best of us. Thank you so much, Joe. And Christina, I want to turn to you because in Stanton, you guys approached it in a very professional manner. You had your time bank set up, marketed, and promoted by someone who did it full time.
We did. The Stanton Creative Community Fund, before I came on board, Megan Williamson was the executive director of the Stanton Creative Community Fund, and the coordinator from Win-Win in Winchester had already, you know, said that, you know, he had talked to Megan as well. What the Stanton Creative Community Fund did is we went out and actually got a little grant through the Department of Housing and Community Development to launch our time bank. So that was a little kind of, I guess, a little mainstream is to find a little bit of money to find and to have someone like Megan to actually do that research, to you know, find the folks to help us build our website, to get the expertise that we needed with the Time Banks USA software to really do things like coordinate our early adopters meeting. That's what we had in August of 2012 to bring about 30 people together to figure out, hey, what's the best approach to set up a time bank here, to reach out to someone like Kathy. And Kathy, that's exactly what we did. We reached out to you whenever we were first getting started. But yeah, we went a little bit more of a formal route to get our time bank started. And that grant was for about a year. And now the Our Economy is all on its own, with our steering committee doing most of the governance. And now it's all community members that are managing the Our Economy at Time Bank.
Well, Seville Time Bank took more of a seat of the pants approach, where we had a group of people who were very passionate about it and dove in and got the word out there and got it started, and also made ourselves wide open to making changes and adjustments as it started to grow. So it's become a very organically grown movement in Charlottesville, as I'm sure Stanton is as well. And we have a couple of orientations coming up next week. If I could give a quick plug for those. We invite new members, interested members, to come and talk with us and learn more about it and sign up. We have two orientations scheduled next week, Wednesday, April 2nd and Thursday, April 3rd at 6 o'clock in the downtown branch of the Charlottesville Library on Market Street.
We have another Seville Time Bank member calling in. Lisa, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I've been with Time Banks in Charlottesville since its pilot program, and it's just been one of my favorite things about Charlottesville now. And I have a story that I think is probably pretty unique across the landscape of Time Banks, and that is that my dad is 88 years old, and he's someone who has been very interested in our family history for many, many years. And I have a great-great-grandfather who was a composer back in the mid-1800s, and we have known about him and had his playbills and programs in our family archives for many years. And recently visiting my dad, I came across some of his music manuscripts that, you know, of his original compositions that were never recorded because it was before recording time, and we'd never heard the music. So I got the idea to bring the manuscripts back and see if I could find somebody here in Charlottesville who could actually bring them to life for me. And it turns out that we have a Time Bank member in our Charlottesville Time Bank who's a musician. And he took the manuscripts and picked out one of the songs and ultimately turned it into a string trio arranged it for String Trio, and we got him and a couple of other musicians locally to perform it. And Kathy, our fearless leader, videotaped it so that my father was able to hear his great-grandfather's music for the first time, and it was just such a thrill. And
oh, that is incredible.
Really a wonderful birthday present for my dad.
That was one of the most amazing transactions, and it kind of went several different ways, actually. But being a part of that was really, really special, and I was so happy to see Lisa do that for her dad.
Lisa, thank you for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
And now we go to Chesapeake to talk to Michael. Michael, I think you have an interest in this and maybe even are echoing some of the sentiments of those who have called east of Richmond. How are you this morning? Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I live down here in Tidewater. Heard several people call in interested to make a time bank here. So I'd like to offer a point of contact. I have an email address.
You rock, Michael.
That's what I was just thinking. All right. See, this is how it happens.
And so we'll do it one way. Michael,
it's
we're going to give you...
And grassroots. So,
yes.
That's pretty amazing.
Michael, we're going to do it in one direction. We're going to give you the main website to get a hold of Kathy in Charlottesville.
Sure.
Okay.
That would be...
SeavilleTimeBank.com. And our email address?
SeavilleTimeBank.com.
And what we're going to do to avoid things like Seville Time Bank is will also post all... No, that's okay. We're just joking with you. We'll also post all of this information on our virginiapublicradio.org site for Virginia Conversations. So if you're listening, no need to write it down right now. We'll have all of this online. And that's great, Michael. Thank you for that call.
Yeah, thank you for that.
All right, you're
too.
Welcome.
Yeah. Let's go now to Blacksburg for Trevor. Good morning, Trevor. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi there. My name is Trevor from Blacksburg, and I'm I understand that the idea of a time bank is that an hour of one person's labor is worth an hour of another person's labor. Is that
That's
roughly
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just... So what I'm thinking about is I'm a university level teacher, and I find the idea very, very interesting. But like, I went to school for many, many years to gain the skills that I have, and so I feel like when I give an hour of my labor, it's not that it's worth more than someone else's. It's just that it takes into account all many, many, many hours that came before that, and so I'm not saying that. So I feel like that labor, another person's hour of labor may not do that to the same extent, and someone else's job may do that to an even greater extent. So,
right.
So I'm just curious what your guest may have to say about that.
As a time bank member, you offer services that you're willing to offer hour for hour. So all of us have skills and experiences and things that we could do that we may not be willing to offer as just an hourly exchange with another member. We also have some practitioners that are kind of new in a practice of massage, or they're willing to offer a limited number of those slots to help build their practice, but they realize that they really can't. I mean, they have rent to pay, they have bills to pay, they can't do that solely as their source of income. So the other nice thing about the time bank is you can offer things that you don't do in your professional life. Some people use it as an outlet to explore their creative side or to explore hobbies that they really value, and so it helps broaden their experiences. So you wouldn't have to offer your the skills that you do 9 to 5.
Interesting.
I would concur with Kathy, and that's really interesting, right? How the first thing that we think that we're good about and that we can give is what we do for a living, and sometimes that's the case and sometimes it's not at all. And in Stanton, quite a few of our Stanton-based businesses use the time bank to do exactly what Kathy had reiterated. If they want to, if they're brand new in business and they want to build up their portfolio, they might take the option of being paid in hours rather than dollars. If you, we actually have quite a few nonprofits and social organizations in the Stanton area that now actually will incentivize volunteers in a very formal way. Say, for instance, the Stanton Parks and Rec is now one of the organizations that can actually, you know, pay volunteers in hours, and the people who take classes can actually pay in hours as
and
well. The same thing with the Stanton Downtown Development Association and,
yeah, and
the
I'll tell
Valley
you what, Christina,
Mission
in our 30
and
seconds
community
left,
gardens.
Only 30 seconds left. I do want to point out to the audience, one of your talents is knitting.
That, it is. I knit badly, and I can teach you how to knit badly if you would like
great.
To learn how.
Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Virginia Conversations. I want to thank our guests, Christina Kane, Executive Director of the Stanton Creative Community Fund, and Kathy Kilday, Co-Chair of the Seaville Time Bank. This is Virginia Conversations, and I'm May Lily Lee. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org. And by listeners of this Virginia Public Radio member station. Listeners can hear this program again or access other Virginia Public Radio news content at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.